Hello, my friend. I hope you are doing so well. Welcome to your special patron-only bonus episode with my friend Billie J. Miller. This is a special Rural Woman Podcast second anniversary episode just for you, my friend, my patron. You may remember Billie from all the way back in episode 3 of the Rural Woman Podcast. Billie is a dear friend of mine that I met very early on in my farm wife, farm life journey. We had the pleasure of meeting face to face back in, gosh, I think that was 2017, maybe 2018 now. And we have been great friends ever since. I became more familiar with Billie and her story after I read her first two books, Farm Wives in Profile and Farm Wives 2. Billie has been very busy since those books came out. Her and her family have recently renovated their home, which we kind of go off on for a while there, but I think it's a really special and important conversation that we have around that. Plus, we're here to talk about her brand new book that she wrote with her daughters in the year 2020, which was, as you all know, a bit strange. So I'm very excited for you guys to hear this special conversation with Billie. And thank you all again so much for your patronage of the Rural Woman Podcast. Gosh, it's been 2 years and I can't wait to continue to spread the good word of women in agriculture with you. Enjoy.
Yeah. You're doing so awesome.
Ah, I could say the same for you. I'm so excited to talk to you and just catch up with you and all of the things.
I know.
So what's been happening? I've talked to you like, well, it's almost 2 years ago now, Billie. Like that's the last time you were on the podcast was almost 2 years ago. It'll be 2 years ago in March, which is crazy to me. So like,
it is crazy.
Catch us up. What's been going on?
It is crazy. It's funny. I'm thinking, I remember exactly where I was when I did the podcast episode with you last time. I was sitting in the parking lot in Lloydminster doing some business at Service Canada anyway. And I remember sitting in the parking lot talking to you. Well, things have changed somewhat. Now I'm at home. I'm in my newly renovated home office. We underwent a huge renovation to our home this last year. We actually had to move out of it for about 8 months, and we were renting a place down the highway, and which is, you know, will be a lead into my Bubbles Took a Trip story, my children's book that I ended up writing a little bit about it. But we live in, I don't know if I talked about it last time or not, but anyway, we live in my husband's family's original homestead. Homesteaded land and their family. And anyway, we were living at, I guess it was the second farmhouse, which was a house, you know, ordered by Dean's grandparents in the 60s, you know, out of the Eaton's catalog kind of thing. It was the very traditional, you know, rectangle home with very basic, very low square footage, that kind of a thing. And it just really needed some work, you know, so we had known work to the house was coming for a long time, and we ended up finally getting down to business, and we kind of designed a nice plan to be able to keep the house as much as possible, but we just renovated it. We put two additions on it to kind of just make it our good forever home, you know, with D&I and our two kids. So that's what we did. And anyway, we were finally just able to move back into it at the start of COVID. Like right when all the craziness happened, and before you know it, school was canceled. Dean and I were still living. We're still living in this rental. And Dean and I looked at each other when things got hairy, and we were like, "The house is ready enough for us to move back home. Let's get home." You know, it just as everybody knows, things just kind of got crazy there. So that's probably our biggest update was, yeah, moving back home, thankfully, and, you know, trying to make a go of things in our new reality. Isn't that the truth?
Right. No doubt. Well, and it's so good that you guys got finished enough to be able to kind of like hunker down at home in your new home.
Oh, absolutely.
When everything kind of just went in went down, I guess, while we were in the States when the Prime Minister was like, we're going to close the border soon. So we were actually down. We were down in Yuma because we like to go do our little holidays in the winter. So Justin had already brought down our truck and trailer to California. So we had to fly down there to bring it back regardless. And luckily we did that before everything got too bad. But yeah, we made the sprint back to the border to get home and then did our 2-week quarantine. And after that 2 weeks, it was kind of like, it was like, oh, well, we really have nowhere to go or nowhere to do. So I guess we'll just get to work. And basically I've been working ever since then. So,
well, you know, that's the thing, right? I mean, I've come to look at it as this much time has gone by as we're extremely lucky to have, you know, the careers that we do.
Right.
Farming doesn't stop. People still need their food. You know, the canola still needed to be put into the ground. Everything. I mean, I consider myself, we were extremely lucky to be in our position as opposed to the positions many other people were in. So, you know, when I told Dean too, like just the gratitude I had for the fact that we were moving back into what is now our forever home, right? We're never leaving this place. You know, this is where our kids are going to have to come back to when they are grown. And, you know, if they choose to have families of their own, like they're going to be coming back here. And so I guess the fact that, you know, you had no other choice but to not leave your house, you
right.
know, I was in a good position. I'm like, if there was ever a time to be hunkered in or to be quarantined, it was when you have a new house to unpack.
Yeah, exactly.
So I had my hands full.
Yeah.
My kids, you know, my 189% priority was keeping my kids functional and happy and, you know, as least worried as possible, I guess, in the new normal and the stress and the, I mean, how do you describe this last year? Like whatever that was, you know, it's hard enough for an adult to wrap your head around, try, you know, having a 7- and 8-year-old, you know, on your hands that can't see their friends anymore. And, you know, you're trying to explain things to them in a way that's not going to, you know, traumatize them. And, you know, that was my priority with my kids, like so many other people out there. Right.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, and I could. Yeah. Well, and you know, they're still alive. They're still breathing and you know, they're
that's right.
That's all you can hope for.
And they got a new book under their belt.
Exactly. They got to work while they were done. I want to just touch base. Yeah. I want to touch base on your house for one quick second here before we dive into the book stuff, because I just love that you and Dean like really tried to keep the bones of the original house, because that is something that has happened in this farmhouse as well. I'm currently sitting in what would have been the second addition of the house. I don't even know what year they built this addition, but below me is the original bones of the basement of the original farmhouse that Baba and Guy built when they came from Ukraine. So I just think the history and the story there, like in all of these farmhouses, I just think it's so neat and it's so cherished. And I think that needs to be part of one of your next books, is the farmhouses that we still live in.
Oh my gosh. You know, so many people had said to us, like, you know, I feel like this house has so many stories and has so many lives attached to it. You know, when I moved here after I had met Dean, and when I moved here and I realized we were going to be kind of building our lives together, Dean was a bachelor, right? He was in his early to almost mid 30s. We were 34 when we met, both of us were. And, you know, he was in his early 30s. He was a bachelor. He lived in his grandparents' old house. It was just, you know, as so many people in his family said, it was just a fitting move for Dean to live here because he had spent a lot of time with his grandparents when he grew up. He was very close to them. He would sometimes ride his bike down here after school from his home, you know, where his mom and dad raised him. He would ride his bike down here after school just to check in on his grandpa, his granddad, to see what he was doing, right? To make sure he was farming right, as he put it. It's hilarious and so cute. Anyway, so he spent so many weekends spending the night here at his grandma and granddad's and stuff. So this house was just a part of him, right? But it needed work. I mean, it had, when I got here, it had, you know, the old linoleum, you know, that was curling up on the corners. It had, you know, the thing that gleamingly stands out to me is it had no dishwasher.
Oh.
We had, you know, we had no dishwasher until just till we moved in back in this past March. So I always tell him, I'm like, I'm a good wife, you know, 10 years I put yep. in without a dishwasher.
Billy,
I got $2 with no dishwasher.
Like, ours has been, like, on the fritz for the last week, and I have just felt, you know, deep despair. And, like, it's like, this needs to be fixed. Like, I could probably live without a stove and just, like, cook in the microwave for however long. I don't even care. But the dishwasher. So, yes, you, in fact, are the best wife ever.
Oh, my gosh. I mean, there could be a book alone written on those of us with no dishwashers, you know, and to talk about the pain and the agony, you know, and then, you know, you always get the comments of, you know, some of the older, we never had a dishwasher,
right.
You know, it just, so yes, I'm like, I know, first world problems.
Exactly.
World problems. But anyway, and so the house needed work, you know, so we had done a few things when I first moved here in our first couple of years, say, of the relationship, we, you know, the basement did need gutting and rebuilding because, well, there were mice in the house when I first got here, too. I'm like, all right, this has to stop. Like, that's not acceptable.
Right.
So the basement was regutted. Some rooms were put down there. The mouse problem looked after, that kind of thing. You know, the bare basics, I guess, were done. But ultimately, after we had our kids and stuff, we just knew there would be more. But, yeah, you know, I mean, Dean's grandma's cold room is still down there, and it's got this beautiful bright blue, powder blue, old-fashioned door on it that I love. That stayed. You know, the cold room stayed just as is because I just absolutely love that room. She's got all her shelving in there. You know, my pickles would end up taking over and things like that in the fall time, right? Like, it just so many touches of this place that, and memories, like, Dean and I's bedroom is now our oldest daughter's bedroom, you know, and just different things, you know, and it used to be his grandparents' bedroom, just different things like that. Like, our living room is still the living room, only there's one less wall there. So now it's more wide open and spread out. And there are just things that, you know, can't be replaced. And yeah, we easily could have. And so many people said, oh my gosh, why don't you just knock it down and start over? And we could have easily, right? But we just decided to do things the way we did it. And we're both super happy with how it turned out. And, you know, to be in this yard where the trees are lined with these absolutely giant spruce trees. We have the best shelter in this yard, which I feel like is so lucky, especially from Southern Alberta. I know your lack of trees. So, feels very fortunate.
Right.
You know, we've got these laneway lined with these huge spruce trees that my kids walk down to catch a bus every morning, and it was their granddad who planted those trees, you know, like just so many touching things that I think are just, and you know, coming from where I came from, it's just honestly, it's just, you know, it's so important to me, so I just love it.
Absolutely. Well, and I just love, like, just the history and everything with these farmhouses, and like you said, like, they're great grandfather, their grandfather planted these trees that they now get to walk under, and you know, their kids eventually will get to do that too, right? So it's always just it's just beautiful history in all of these old farm homes.
It is.
You said, like, you could have knocked it down and built a brand new shiny house, but you know, why not have an adventure along the way of
trying to make
it work?
Absolutely.
Well, and I think there's a lot of people, and, you know, myself included, I think coming into a farming family and a farming legacy, like, you kind of, for me anyways, it's like, am I going to be stepping on toes if I'm, you know, putting my own, like, taste into the home and all of that kind of stuff? So that's something that I've eventually worked into, like, 4 years of marriage. It's more looking like what I believe that our home should look like versus what my mother-in-law's look like or her mother-in-law's look like, right? So it's always a delicate dance.
I absolutely I definitely feel that too. You don't feel like, you know, and it's, that was kind of something I think I maybe touched on in FarmWise too, as well, but it's absolutely like you don't walk into a fully established yard. Like, granted, it wasn't Dean's parents who had lived here. Like, Dean wasn't raised here. It was his grandparents and then was his kind of thing. But it would have been even harder if my in-laws lived here. I'm sure it would have. Like, it just wouldn't have felt like mine. But right. To be honest, even still, it didn't feel like mine right away. Not even close. Like, and to be honest, the house, I think, even didn't until now. Until now, I know, okay, we built it. We designed this house with our family and no one else's in mind, you know?
Right.
And now, yes, 100% it feels like home. It didn't happen right away. It was a slow build up. It was, it doesn't happen right away. But and everyone's, you know, choosing a situation is different in farm life too, right? So right. It just depends. Not everyone had the ability to build from scratch on their own piece of land or whatever. Like, it's just all, you know, as well as I do, it's all very unique kind of circumstances, right? So, but it definitely, I'd say it probably took about 10 years. It took us building this house before it felt like home officially.
Right. Well, and I think that's so important to touch on, because I know there are so many women out there like us who marry into these situations, and it can be uncomfortable. Yeah. And like, it can not feel like home, and to know that it's not going to feel that way right away, but to, you know, not mm-hmm. give up and, you know, just keep fighting the good fight right. and realize that eventually one day this will feel absolutely like your home, whether that's when you bring your kids home or if you're able to do a renovation. Hell, even if you're able to paint a wall a different color, like that kind of just the slow process right. of coming into this versus like thinking, you know, I'm going to move here and I'm going to change everything. Because let me tell you, I had that mentality for probably about a year. I was like, we need to change this and we need to change this. And then it wasn't really until I realized, like, this is still my husband's home that he grew up in. And like, coming in and changing absolutely everything is not going to make anybody feel more comfortable. So, you know,
right.
Tapping the brakes.
I think it is a good thing to touch on too. And I think it's something that a conversation that I find will often organically happen, because everyone is from, you know, different circumstances, but a lot of the themes do happen again and again and again. And absolutely, like I often think about how, you know, Dean's grandma maybe would have felt when she moved here with her granddad, with her husband, right?
Right.
Dean's grandma and granddad, how she would have felt, because that would have been the situation where, yeah, he would have been raised here his whole life. And, you know, he would have had parents who were very closely involved, that kind of a thing, how that would have felt. Absolutely. Right. Like that's, you know, but again, and as was touched on in my first Farm Wives book, a lot of those women, they probably didn't have the same issues that we think of. Well, they had the same issues, but they didn't think of them the same way that we are entitled to think of them.
Absolutely.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
A lot of women now very easily and rightfully so will be, okay, is my name on the mortgage? Is my name on the title? You know, different things like that. Do you think women 60, 70 years ago thought those things? Absolutely not.
Right.
Whether they weren't permitted to think about it, whether they just weren't bred to think of those kinds of things, right?
Right.
We have that luxury of being able to think of those things now.
Yeah.
And it's very interesting, isn't it?
It is so interesting how times have changed.
Are
Dean's grandparents still alive?
Oh, no.
They passed
away. His grandmother was. When I first met him, I'm so lucky I got to meet her. My first daughter, second name is Lillian, and it was named after her. Her actual name was Lillian, but they called her Peggy. Go figure. you know. Anyway, and I was lucky enough to meet her, when I first met Dean, and she was actually in a home in Vermilion, Alberta, which is where I worked at the courthouse at the time. I ended up getting a transfer down from Edmonton, my government job. I got a transfer down to Vermilion when I was moving in with Dean. And so I was able to go visit her sometimes on my lunch break and things like that. And she was ailing, you know, she was getting older, and we didn't know how long we'd have her, but I would just sit with her and chat with her. And as I got to know the family better, you know, Dean's uncles and Dean's parents and everything, I could just sit there and talk with her about, you know, holy, I heard stories of things you used to deal with, you know, Dean's dad and his, you know, brother-in-law. They used to have a good time back in the day, you might say. And, you know, Peggy would say, oh, I used to just want to bang their heads together. You know, just hilarious conversations. And we'd have so much fun talking about these stories. And I think she just loved being listened to. And I loved sitting there listening to the stories. You know, I didn't have a grandparent left of my own. So right. I knew those days would be treasured, and they definitely were. So yeah, I knew her, but I didn't know Dean's granddad. He was already passed away.
Right. We have very similar situation, Billy. So Justin's he has both of his grandmothers still left, which he's very lucky to have of their age and his age and all of the things. But Baba, so the woman who raised her family in this home, this is her home. So Baba is still alive. She is 94 years old. She is from the Ukraine, and she is basically like my inspiration for farming. And she is just a miraculous woman. And all of the stories that she tells, like you said, like I can just sit there and listen to her talk for hours. And, you know, she's getting up there in age, and it is my goal and my wish to have her come on the podcast so we can share a little bit of her story. But and this was my plan and this was my goal, and then we got locked down for COVID, so it was like, that's not really something that we can do for now, but it's still my goal to get her on the podcast so she can share a little bit. But she's just
Wouldn't that be amazing?
Right? And like just her stories that she has of everything that she did on the farm. And like, we're complaining about not having a dishwasher. Like this woman, she had two kitchens. She had two kitchens in this house, and she was cooking on the top floor and the bottom floor every day. That she was, you know, chasing chickens and butchering them and hoeing potatoes and raising four kids and all of these things. This woman doesn't have a driver's license and never has had a driver's license. Like, she has so many amazing stories. Like, it's just incredible.
Is that Justin's mom's mom or dad's
That
mom?
Is his dad's mom. So, and his grandfather passed away in the early 90s, I believe. And then Justin's dad passed away a year before I met Justin. So I never got to meet Harry, which would have been Baba's youngest son. But she always tells me all about Harry and all of the things. So, yeah, it was like she just has so many stories, and it's just like a miraculous woman. And yeah, it's my goal and my wish to get her on the podcast. Her accent is very thick. So I think Justin will have to help with that podcast episode, because there's sometimes when she's talking that I still don't understand what she's saying. So
right,
we might need to have some subtitles.
Like,
honestly, like when you think of an old Ukrainian Baba farm wife, like this is Annie Dubin. Like that is who she is, and I just love her to death. She is just the greatest.
Amazing. Oh, that is so awesome.
Yes.
I love it.
Yes. So, oh, so good. Okay. We rambled on enough about grandmas and houses and all of the things.
All good.
I want to talk about your new book that came out.
Okay.
Tell us all about it, how the idea came about, how you involved your girls, all of the things.
Absolutely makes me so happy. So, as you know, I wrote Farm Wives in Profile first. Capturing women from 55 to 90 talked about their lives on their farms. I wrote Farm Wives 2 next, capturing the next generation of farm wives, talking about how things have changed being a farm wife on the farm. The next natural progression that I was writing and that I am still working on writing is Farm Kids, where I am interviewing kids, male and female, from all over the country, from all different ages, talking about what life was and is like as a farm kid in this country. Because what a glorious gig that is, I always kind of thought, right? Well, enter COVID in March, and Well, that project took a halt, like many other things in our life, and we just kind of were thrown into existence mode. Right? I had my kids at home all of a sudden. They were no longer in school. We moved into the house. I was so excited, you know, to get my office set up and running and get to work on Farm Kids. And like I said, enter COVID. I had kids at home. You know, my goal was to keep them fed and in clean clothes sometimes and, you know, take a shower myself the odd time. And you know what? I got a little bit sidetracked. And so let me tell you where I never pictured myself writing a children's book until this hilarious story happened. And here's what happened. The actual day that we were packing up our rental and moving back home. So we were about 2 kilometers, let's say about 4 kilometers from our farm. We were not far. And we have a Bernese Mountain Dog, is our family dog. We've had them since the kids were both basically babies. Bubbles, it's a female. Her name is Bubbles because, I mean, what else are you going to name a big giant farm dog, right? Bubbles. So when we moved to the rental, we kept Bubbles at home because Bernese Mountain Dogs are very loyal to their surroundings and their family, obviously, but very loyal. And this rental we were living on was on the highway. We didn't want to confuse her, right? Dean was going back to the farm every single day to work. My father-in-law is in this yard every day for work as well. So we didn't want to confuse Bubbles by moving her to this rental and have her try to run on the highway to get home or something like that. So we left her at home for safety purposes, and then we were here to visit her every day. So anyway, the day we were getting ready to move back home, Dean sends me a text as soon as he got to the farm, and he said, "Get on Facebook, Bubbles is missing." And I was like, and I knew if he texted that, it wasn't just that Bubbles went for a walk and is late returning home. Like, I knew Bubbles was not there and something was wrong. So my stomach literally just sank. And I got on Facebook immediately and I put a picture of Bubbles and I said, "Bubbles, our Bernese Mountain Dog is missing. If you see anything, please get a hold of us." And I put a picture of her up. My kids were at home that day, or at the, you know, rental that day as well. And I'm just sitting there thinking, okay, don't mention a word to them until I have to, right? Because I didn't want them upset, freaked out. So enter instant panic. So I put the message on Facebook and I thought, oh my goodness, okay, what am I going to do? So first thing I did, I phoned the vet and I was like, "Does my dog have a tattoo?" I wasn't even sure, right? Does she have a tattoo or a chip or whatever? No, Bubbles doesn't have any of that. Oh, man. I'm thinking, okay, well, she's a farm dog. She doesn't have a dog tag because she's a farm dog, you know? They're always, like, loyal. She never goes anywhere. She's just on our farm or not on our road. So I was like, oh, my goodness. So almost immediately after I sent the message out, I got a text from a neighbor that said, "Dean Davidson," and he said, "Check with my mom and dad. She said someone stopped by her house last night with a dog, wondering who the dog was." And I thought, oh my goodness, okay. So I had phoned my neighbors and I had explained, I said, "Our dog Bubbles is missing. I understand somebody had stopped by your place last night." "Yep," Shirley says. "Yes, a woman with tattoos everywhere stopped by with a truck and she had a dog in the back of her truck and asked if the dog belonged to us." I said, "Okay." And she said, and I said, you know, "The dog wasn't ours." And she, you know, Shirley knew we had a dog, but doesn't know what our dog looks like, right? So she didn't know, hey, it's the Millers. So the woman, you know, was like, okay, well, I'm not sure what to do with her. So Shirley told her, "We'll go up to Billy Mouse's, up to the next farmer and ask them." So the woman drove up there and wanted to check at Billy Mouse's, but nobody was home. So I don't want to go too far into the story without, you know, in the proper context. But anyway, so I have no idea where Bubbles is, but I understand that a woman had her and we don't know what happened from that point. And I was just sick. I am like, what on earth? Where is my dog? So long story short, and without giving all of the details up, because we ended up turning it into the sweetest book about the story, but my daughters are sitting in front of me and I'm just thinking to myself, oh my goodness, I don't want to have to tell them bad news. Like, our family would just be crushed if Bubbles is lost and never again to return. But what had happened was a lovely, well-meaning woman was driving down the highway. She lived near Sylvan Lake, Red Deer area. She happened to have a kennel as a job. This was her job. And she also worked at the Lloydminster Upgrader, which is a big oil busy place. And she was working on her seven day on shift. And then she was leaving on her days off to go back home. So as she did that, she was driving down the highway. She came upon this sweet Bernese Mountain Dog. Being a dog lover that she was, she stopped, pulled over. Bubbles is friendly to everyone. Bubbles rolls over. You know, for pets. The woman starts petting her and she thinks to herself, what is this dog doing out here? I don't want this dog. You know, there was a semi driving by, different things like that. She didn't want this dog to get hit. She was just kind of concerned for Bubbles' well-being. She puts Bubbles in the back of her truck, drives over to the neighbors, the Davidsons, ask if it's theirs, and it's not. So she's sitting there with this decision and she doesn't know what to do. And she's like, okay, I know I live 4 hours away and I probably shouldn't take this dog this far. However, she knows that if she leaves this dog on the highway, she couldn't bear if something let something happen to the sweet dog that she'd kind of fallen in love with. So she says to herself, she's going home for her days off. It was a Thursday. She knew she was going to be returning back for her oil job. On the Sunday, she knew she'd be coming back to the area. So she said, I'm going to take this dog with me, keep her in safe hands, you know, to avoid something bad happening to her on the highway. And then she'll be coming back Sunday. So she's given herself a few days to hopefully find the owners. Hey, so this was the plan. So meanwhile, the next morning is when Dean discovers Bubbles missing. We can't track her down. Well, lo and behold, I went back on Facebook and I looked at my original post. Well, this woman had gotten home with her dog and posted on a Lloyd Missing Pets page a picture of our dog Bubbles and says, you know, we found this dog. She's so friendly and wonderful. We want to get her home safely to her owners. Can anyone help? So someone had sent me that post. Well, what do I see? I log back onto Facebook. I see this post of Bubbles and I just started crying. I was so relieved. It was unbelievable. Like, somebody found her. Yes, she's safe. So I immediately got on the phone. I phoned the number. I was just in tears. I said, I heard you have my dog.
Oh.
She's like, we do. She's fine. I'm so sorry. You know, ended up being this thing. So anyway, this book, I thought to myself, someone actually said to me that day, oh, we're so relieved. We're so relieved you found your dog. And someone said, you need to make a children's book out of that. And it kind of left my mind. You get busy doing other things. And then I sat down one day and I thought, you know what? I need to write a children's book out of this. So I had been taking a course at the time about, I used a company to publish my other books. They're still self-published, but I used a company to do a lot of the legwork for me. This was a project I had the time to put into it. This was a project I fully published on my own. I did the cover myself. I did all the graphics myself. I did all of the design inside, the illustrations myself. I'm just so incredibly proud of it. And the best part of it is I 100% got to include my kids. You know, I sat down with them. I was like, girls, we need to write a children's book about Bubbles. What do you think? And I came up with the title, Bubbles Took a Trip. I said, what do you think? Do you guys want to help, Mom? Oh, they were absolutely ecstatic. So we picked out graphics together. We picked out the photos of Bubbles we wanted to include together. Madeline started writing part of it. She goes, this is what I want it to say on the back cover, you know? We talked about that. Of course, Mommy did her editing on it and all of that. But, you know, it was so much fun to do. It's such a great story. and it's a happy ending. You know what I mean? And it was just absolutely a hoot to do, is all I can say. So you should buy it.
Yeah. And that too. Oh, well, I have bought it. I bought it for my nephews and my niece and my nephew, and I got them in the mail and I opened it up, and Billy, it is so well done, and it is such a sweet story. Oh. And it is just the cutest book. And I just want to share some of the reviews that have been written about this book, because they are rave reviews. McKinley M, who is 7, wrote, "This book is so sweet and silly." And I loved reading about Bubbles the dog, Leighton G, age 7. And this one is probably my favorite. "This book is really, really, really good. And my favorite part is that Billy Miller is in it." Sam P, age 8. It looks like you have a big fan in Sam P there, Billy.
Oh my God. Okay, well, I'll tell you a little story. Sam P is my fan, and I am probably his biggest fan as well. He is on my, oh my gosh, he's played hockey with my daughter. And, you know, in a small community like we live in, you get to watch these kids grow up right along with yours, right? And Sam Purser is just probably one of the most hilarious kids on the entire planet. And he just cracks me up. And he's just got the best confidence in himself, you know, that makes him absolutely so much more lovable than he already is.
Right.
And yeah, I had asked these kids, friends of my daughters, to pre-read the book in its very, very basic form. And I had this idea. I wanted to include some reviews in the printed book. And, well, I was so excited that they actually were happy with it. They wrote those reviews. So, oh, my goodness. It just made me so happy.
It is so good. And honestly, like, kids write, like, honest reviews. If they didn't like your book, they wouldn't say they like their book, right? Like, they're bad.
Absolutely. It's the truth.
Right?
It really is.
They haven't learned about filters.
Absolutely. Like, they're completely honest. And I knew if there was something I have to fix, they darn well let me know.
Right. Oh, it's so sweet. And yeah, the story is so cute and so well done. And then I like in the back of the book, like, you have pictures of you and your family and the girls and, like, real stories and, like, things about Bubbles. And then also
real Bubbles,
the real Bubbles, and then the 9 fun facts about real Bubbles too. Those are so sweet. But I have to say, I think you and the girls need to write a follow-up to this book about your farm kitties that Bubbles has. Right.
Named Cheese Waffles and Oreo Sylvester.
Right.
Yeah,
those are some good names.
I know the rule. Oh, I know. And of course, like, I don't know if all kids do this, but my kids have given our farm cat second name, right? So hilarious. And they're just so funny. You know, it's not George and Fred. It's like Cheese Waffles, right? Oh my goodness. It was just, honestly, it was the most fun thing I could ever do. And I've been told by numerous people that this should become a series, and people might just be onto something, because it's just, you know, and, you know, of course, as a mom, in the back of my head, I sit there and I think, what an absolutely amazing thing now for my girls to be able to look back on this when they are in their 20s, 30s, 40s, maybe having, you know, kids of their own, and being able to read them this book about this magical time in their childhood, right? And I just, you know, of course, I'm fast forwarding and seeing all of this kind of stuff too, and that just makes me happy. But it's just, it was something to sidetrack us from the seriousness of, you know, COVID and, you know, this odd time of not being able to see face to face the people that we love. And, you know, it kind of sidetracked us from that. It made us focus on our family and our life here, and the fact that, guess what, it's still pretty great. No matter everything else that's going on, it was lighter. It took the seriousness off of things for a while, and it just warmed our hearts. So, yeah, I just wanted to kind of put that in a book and help maybe show other people life's pretty good too, you know. And I mean, kids, lots of kids have their own dog, and it'll help them reflect on that. And anyway, it was just something really fun to do with my kids.
Right. And it's so good. And it's so empowering for them. And like you said, in your dedication to Madeline and Kate, at age 7 and 9, you've helped write a book that just proves there's nothing that you can't do. And I just gets That's me a little right. misty, Billy.
I know. Me too.
Oh, it's so good. For the listeners who are listening and would like to purchase a copy of Bubbles Took a Trip, a mostly true tale about an adventurous dog from the Canadian prairies, where can they find this book?
They can find this book through any major online book retailer. You could find it online, but all the links are provided on my website at billyjmiller.com/bubbles. And it's billijmiller.com.
Perfect. And I will link that in the show notes so people can just click on there and get themselves a copy. My books got inscribed for the little ones, which is so sweet. But also, I got a special little sticker in them, and I'm kind of tempted not to give the kids the sticker. I was like, I want the sticker. Oh my God. They don't need that.
You know, it's something that I've learned with my kids. Oh my gosh. Like, kids love stickers. They're just, I've got stickers all over my kids' furniture in their bedroom.
Right.
As many times as I tell them, stop putting stickers on everything.
It's just a kid thing. And I think it's a big kid thing now too. Like, everybody has stickers all over their coffee cups and their water bottle. Like, it's a thing. We just can't get rid of them.
True. It's definitely a thing, right? So I had to put one of my favorite Bubbles graphics. You know, Bernese Mountain dogs have just the most iconic of sweet look, right? And any sticker will end up looking like your dog. So I just found this really sweet graphic of a Bernese Mountain dog's face, and I put it on a sticker. Yeah, and I thought that's kind of the perfect thing. The books were a little bit late coming, again, thanks to COVID shipping and stuff like that. I got my books printed in the UK, but when they finally made it, I wanted to make the books really special. So they're signed by me, my two daughters, because they were absolutely a part of this process. And I got a stamp, you know, with a little doggy paw that says Bubbles. And then I had to include stickers. So it's lots of fun for the kids.
It's so fun. And I thought, in honor of Bubbles, we should have an in-studio audience today for our podcast. So Charlie, my chocolate lab, is currently laying beside me snoring. And I'm sure you can almost hear it in the background.
Oh, isn't that adorable?
Yes. So Charlie is so in the sweet. Bubbles fan club. So there you go.
Oh, love it. Love it, love it, love it. That's awesome.
It was so great catching up with you, Billy. And I am so excited for your new project. And I'm excited for when the kids' book comes out. And we'll have you back on here to chat all about that when it does.
Oh, well, thank you so much. It was so good talking to you too. And all the best to you and your hubby and your gorgeous farm down there in Southern Alberta.
Yes, and I cannot wait for this to all be done so we can see each other face to face again and give each other a great big hug, because that's all I want is a great big hug from friends.
I know. Oh, I know. I hear you. I can't wait.